In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus Christ comes into the world to bring peace. My peace I bring to you, my peace I give to you, he says. Not as the world gives, do I give. Let not your hearts be anxious, neither let them be afraid. Our God comes into the world to establish peace on earth and goodwill among men. We hear these things. They're familiar to us. We know this is true. But do we know it in our everyday life? That God is with us to establish peace, to establish stillness, calm, quiet inside of us, to take away the noisiness and the chaos, and instead to put peace. This is what we call in the Orthodox Church hesychia. It's the Greek word meaning stillness, stillness, quietness. And of course, we're not just talking about external stillness. It's possible to be still on the inside and have all kinds of commotion going on around us. But we have to cultivate that. We have to work at it. God's grace makes it possible, but we have to want it. And we have to cultivate it like a gardener working with the garden, taking out the rocks from the soil, so that when God sends the rain, the plant is watered and it can grow. It can be nurtured. But we have work to do. And we have an enemy in this, because the devil constantly comes to steal our peace. He comes to create chaos, to create commotion, to create noise, disturbance, agitation, to take away our state of calm and instead to give us irrationality, craziness. That's what the devil tries to do. We hear in today's gospel about a situation where the Lord encounters chaos. He encounters agitation, and he brings peace into the situation. He comes and his disciples are there, and this man has a son who has had this spirit of infirmity, this mute, deaf and dumb demon, it says, and he's come to the disciples of the Lord and asked them to heal his son, and they couldn't do anything. So there's consternation, they're agitated. Why couldn't we do it? Why is this not working? What's going on? There's a state of confusion here. And Christ says, O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I bear with this generation that doesn't want the peace of God, that prefers the commotion, the frantic pace of this world, the chaos? How long do I have to bear with this? Of course, the Lord knows that he's able to give us the gift of his peace. But do we have the faith to receive it? We have to be like this man who says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. It's the paradox of having faith but struggling with doubt, of wanting to have faith but not having it be what we know it should be, of wanting to love God but knowing that that love is not perfect. So we cry out, Lord, I believe. Lord, I love you. Help my lack of love. I believe, help my unbelief. I want that peace. Help me to want it more so that I really will work for it and cultivate it in my life. And of course, the Lord, at the end of this passage, when the disciples ask him, why couldn't we do it? He says, this kind cannot come out but by prayer and fasting. And truly, it's by prayer and fasting that we send out the spirit of the commotion of this world from ourselves, from our hearts, and establish peace and stillness. Prayer and fasting are excellent tools that God gives us to establish that peace inside of us. And of course, that prayer and fasting has to be motivated by love. By love. It's not just going through the motions of saying the prayers with our lips. It's not just going through the motions of not eating meat and eating shrimp instead or something like that. That in and of itself doesn't do us any good. But when we give the thing up for God, out of love for Him, it does us great good. And when we say those prayers with a desire at least to express love and to have love in our hearts for God, even if that love isn't what it should be, if that desire at least is there, then it can do us great good. So love is necessary for prayer and fasting to do what they should, and ultimately for us to have peace. This is the Sunday of St. John Climacus, the fourth Sunday of Lent, when we remember St. John, who's the author of the book, The Ladder of Divine Ascent. St. John was a monk. He lived in Egypt, Sinai, the Sinai Peninsula, and there was a monastery called St. Catherine's, and it's there to this day. You can go as a pilgrim and visit St. Catherine's Monastery, and you can even go and see the cave where St. John lived for many years as a hermit. But before he lived as a hermit, when he first went to the monastery at the age of 16, he lived in obedience for 19 years, in obedience to his spiritual father. And so before going off on his own, he cultivated this spirit of obedience, the ability to give his will up, to die to his own ego, his own will, and to listen to someone else and to be obedient. You know, this is a great thing that we try to teach our children, and that we also as adults must continue to try to exercise obedience to God. Well, St. John accomplished this virtue of obedience in his own life, and that's what enabled him to go on to live as a hermit and to live a holy life and to have such great wisdom. And so he did. And then he went and he lived as a hermit for many years, and then finally, the brethren were in need of a new abbot, and they called on St. John to come. They said, "We know that you are a man of deep spirituality and great wisdom, and we want you to come and be our abbot." So he reluctantly agreed, and he came and he lived as the abbot there in the monastery. So St. John Climacus shows us the way of obedience, which also, along with prayer and fasting, can lead us to deeper peace. When we learn to obey God, we receive peace as a gift. Isaiah the prophet says this. It's actually the Lord speaking through Isaiah to Israel. Isaiah 48, 18. "Oh, that you had heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been as a river and your righteousness as the waves of the sea." You see, doesn't that just get you in your heart? "Oh, that you had heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been as a river and your righteousness as the waves of the sea." If we heed God's commandments, if we're obedient to Him, then He gives us peace. So obedience, along with prayer and fasting, and also what we see in St. John Climacus is meekness. Meekness. Listen to this story. At one time, when St. John was there in the monastery as the abbot, he was accused of some of the brethren of being overly talkative, speaking too much, maybe going on for too long. And he said, "Okay." And he didn't say a word after that for 1 year. For a whole year. Because he accepted it as correction from God. Even though it was from the, you know, the brothers who were supposed to be under him. Yet he received this as a word from God. He was convicted by it. He responded meekly and didn't speak a word for a year. And finally, after a year, they were begging him, "Please, talk to us again. Tell us something good." Because they knew that he was full of wisdom. And of course he did. And he wrote his book, The Ladder of Divine Ascent, and he shared this incredible wisdom that he cultivated in that place of peace within himself as he practiced that silence as a hermit, and during his year of silence, God gave him this wisdom out of that peace. What do we say in the prayer of Saint Ephrem? Saint Ephrem speaks to us about several things that we've talked about these past few weeks. But when we get to the last item that we ask God to take away from us, what is it? Take from me the spirit of sloth, despair, lust of power, and what? Idle talk. What is idle talk? Well, of course it includes things like gossip. But it's not just gossip. It also includes any kind of speech that isn't edifying, that doesn't lift the other person up. Unkind talk, we could say. Also, just when we feel like, you know, we have to talk to kind of fill in the silence or something like that. Well, what a shame, because God is giving us the silence as a gift. Why would we necessarily fill that in with something? But you know what? It's not even just what we do with our lips. But we can have idle, we can be not moving our lips and have idle talk inside. You see? Commotion, noisiness, wordiness inside. So we must beware of this idle talk. So we're taught to practice silence. And you know, it's when we have some measure of inner stillness that we can really repent. We can hear God's still small voice speaking to us. We can recognize what's going on inside of us, and we can assess our situation and repent. But you know, this stillness is very difficult to cultivate in the world. We understand that we live in a noisy society. So it's very difficult to have. It's very difficult when you have a family and there's a lot going on. It's difficult, but it's not impossible. But we have to be persistent. The other day I was driving, and I don't know how, but somehow I thought of something, and this thought convicted me. And I thought, that's something I need to work on. Lord, have mercy. And so I was thinking about that, and I was meditating on that, and then I stopped at a stoplight, and there was a car next to me, and even though my window was up, I could hear the song that they were playing in the car next to me. And it was a song that came out when I was in high school. And I've heard it hundreds of times, you know. And instantly, the spirit, the state that I was in changed. And I realized that up to that point, for the last few minutes at least, there had been silence, stillness, quiet, peace. I was focused, and I lost it all. Everything changed as soon as I heard that song. And so this is what happens to us. We have all these triggers that happen to us that steal away our silence. But what can we do? We run back to Christ. We say, Lord, forgive me. I lost that stillness. I lost that silence. Please return it to me. There's a priest that I know. Now he's a veteran priest. But years ago, when he was a young priest, he told this story that when he used to like to listen to heavy metal music. And he would, even as a priest, he continued listening to it for a while. And he would sometimes even listen to it in the car when he was on his way to church on Sunday. And then one day, it just dawned on him, this is probably not the best way to get ready for the liturgy. Because he would find himself feeling agitated as he listened to that music rather than peaceful. Wow, it doesn't fit. You know, it doesn't help us to cultivate that stillness that we need. So there are lots of practical things, choices that we can make. Even turning off the radio sometimes when we're driving in the car and not having any noise, not having any sort of background noise where we can just be quiet and we can pray. Because God knows the devil throws enough things at us to steal our peace, thoughts and all kinds of things. We don't need to help the devil, you see. But even if we lose our peace and get agitated, even if we get agitated the way I did this past Friday when I couldn't send an email to you all because something was wrong with my computer and I couldn't figure it out and I was frustrated. Things like this happen, you know, all of us, we experience that every day. The machine's not working, you know, things are not going right. It's not what we expected. But when this happens, we have to run back to Christ and say, please, my Christ, my sweet Lord, give me back my peace. Please have mercy on me and establish stillness within me so that I might hear your voice. So obedience, meekness, prayer, and fasting, these things help us to acquire this stillness. But what inspires us to do all of these things and to do them in the right spirit is love for God. So we must ask God to give us genuine love. And that's why in St. Ephrem's prayer we say, but give rather the spirit of chastity, humility, patience, and love to thy servant. So may God grant us the true spiritual peace through which even those around us may be saved, as St. Seraphim of Sarov says, and through which we ourselves may become a fit dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. Amen.